Last time on Culture File, we paid a visit to the North London design studio, Barnbrook, to meet Jonathan Barnbrook, a designer and typographer who for several years has been designing David Bowie's albums. But the Barnbrook practice also has another life, producing activist works from protest placards to typefaces based on iconic murals in Belfast and Derry to a series of anti-greenwashing posters aimed at Volkswagen and clandestinely placed in bus shelters around Paris to coincide with this week's UN conference on climate change. I spoke to Jonathan Barnbrook about the design of politics.
Graphic design in the media, people tend to think of it as being quite commercial, that we help people sell stuff that they don't necessarily need. And usually what graphic design does is changes the form of that and represents it back to people, and they buy it again. But actually, you know, graphic design has been very, very much part of protest. You know, if you see people walking down the street in a protest, they're carrying bits of graphic design. They're the handbills, they're the placards. People tend to separate political graphics from commercial graphics, and actually they are, the people tend to be doing the same thing. It's an important part of being a designer to do stuff that, you know, hopefully does have an effect on your world rather than just trying to get people to buy the same thing again.
The problem then is clients, really, isn't it?
It is, but then you only have one life. So who wants clients who's scared of people who have opinions? I mean, that is, that I suppose is the big problem.
You called on designers not to work for corporations who want you to lie for them. You've never got caught in that trap?
That statement was quite rhetorical. I think whenever you construct anything with words and images, you are creating a lie in a way, or you're framing words and you're framing an image with meaning to put over a point of view. So everything is a lie in that sense, I think.
How do you go about sifting clients? Like, people will want you to work with them, and do you make a moral, political judgment on whether you will or not?
Yes, but if I say we make a moral political judgment, it sounds like we sit there like high court judges going, no, we won't work for you. But honestly, we don't attract that kind of work very often because I think people know to keep away.
So you do end up with a very interesting group of clients, as you said, from David Bowie's wife to Damien Hirst to Undertakers in Tokyo. How did you get involved with an Undertakers in Tokyo? It was a particular brief.
When I was younger, I used to go to graveyards just to work, because I found them like lost cities. You would go into them and you could just immerse yourself in this almost utopian place. And they were full of typography as well. And the typography was by an unknown person. And it would be beautiful. It's full of symbolism, which you wouldn't understand. And it's full of nature as well. So they were very influential places on me.
You are a typographer that does carve stone.
It's important to understand where letter forms come from. When you're typing in on your computer and pulling down times or whatever it is, there is a reason those letter forms are structured that way, with the little ticks on the ends of the letters. And that's because of the way people either carved or used brushes, you know, thousands of years ago. And I found that really interesting. You know, why do we have these letter forms today? It's through an evolution of many different things. So I had to go back and carve the letter forms in stone myself to understand them. And it's interesting because you have different technology. When you carve in stone, it's forever. You know, when you output on a laser printer, it's something that's ephemeral, you can throw away. So there's something more about stone carved lettering, say the truth, more than a laser printed. At the moment, we're doing a project with Brandalism, which is to coincide with the climate change talks in Paris. It's a number of posters. In fact, they put up 600 different posters by different artists, just reminding the politicians there that actually this is a serious issue and we're expecting action, proper action, not just words. And I think that's what graphic design can do in a social context. Nobody had their life changed by seeing one poster. People have their life changed in a way in graphic design by it adding its voice to many voices, which gets something on the mainstream political agenda.
You've been working on a project for a long-term project in Northern Ireland around those issues about graphic design in a conflict situation.
It's an ongoing project. Part of it is to explain that situation, but also part of it is to highlight the positive side of it. It's based around a website called niresolution.org, Northern Ireland Resolution. There are a number of fonts. There's appreciation of murals. For me, those murals had great power. Being brought up in design in a world of branding for companies, which actually didn't mean that much to me often, to see the murals, to see how they worked, to see how they were part of people's everyday lives, was like an electric bolt through me, really. I understand a lot of people wanted to get rid of them, but they are as much part of the heritage of Northern Ireland as anything else. For the project, I also released a couple of typefaces, and these were from the Free Derry mural in Derry, Londonderry, and also from Sandy Row in Belfast, because I wanted to do a font from either side. First, I felt that these things were going to be lost and they should be preserved. The Sandy Row mural has already changed. You know, letter forms are very precious. When you use them, you create meaning. And I wanted to see, put them out there so people could use them. If you take the welcome to Free Derry sign, you cut up those letters and you can create other words. What words would you create? They're available digitally for people to use how they want. They're named after the website, which is NI Resolution, but honestly, they are completely free. I don't want to make any profit from them. I just want people to use them and take this part of culture and hopefully reuse it in a positive way.
Do you get involved directly in civil disobedience?
Yes, maybe not as much as I should, but I still believe in going out and protest. There's no substitute for going down the street with a placard and shouting. You know, it's getting more and more difficult as the government brings in more laws to restrict you. But protest works, and dead bodies, but people on the street, it works. And that's the only way to change things. I mean, that's what I love about graphics as well. It's the possibility of infinite reproduction of something. So it doesn't have the pretense of you going into a gallery and you see a painting and it means something. That is valid, of course, but graphic design is essentially valueless. There's no money attached to it, and it can be reproduced infinitely digitally, and that message can go digitally around the world in a matter of seconds. That's what's very exciting about it, not just for music, but for politics, everything.
Jonathan Barnbrook there, and you can hear an extended version of that interview on the Culture File Weekly on Saturday at 6:30 p.m. But next time on Culture File, the music of the wind.